are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe that all things are possible. Only. Praise the Lord. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. I have a prayer request from Brother Kennard. God bless you. And he's traveling this month. He's asking for prayer, traveling mercies as they travel in August. And how many has a prayer request on your heart? Just hold it up to God as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful we can come to you, Lord, knowing that you're a God of justice, but also a God of mercy. And Lord, we don't come asking for your justice, but we come asking for your grace and mercy, Lord. For we cannot stand in your justice. We cannot stand, Lord. But we're trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're trusting in that sacrifice of Calvary. And so we boldly come to the throne of grace today. And we ask you to bless us, Lord, and have mercy on us and forgive us. Cleanse us. Make us truly what you want us to be. Lord, bless Brother Kennard and his wife as they travel, and all the unspoken requests, the hands, my hands, Lord, the many loved ones that we commit to your hands, Lord. We need you to be a Savior, Lord, to us and to our loved ones, Lord. Save us, O God. Save our loved ones. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost. And draw us to yourself, Lord. And bless the service today, Father. We commit it into your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we're standing, let's read from the scriptures. Just want to say I appreciate Tim and Jeremy and Laura being faithful and helping us with the song service. And Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13, verse 12 and 13, and then I'm also going to read one verse from John 17, but Hebrews 13, verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And then John 17, verse 17. Gospel of John 17, verse 17. And Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You may be seated this morning. God bless you. It's good to be here today, and I have to confess I have too many notes and I have too many things to say today, so just bear with us. And I was talking to somebody one time about preaching. It was another preacher, and sometimes preachers, I guess we can say they preach too long, maybe, or and that might be our opinion, but maybe they preach just long enough. So I had an experience before we were pastoring here or preaching in Philadelphia, where different people were coming through, and there was a small group, and we met in a basement somewhere, and I can't remember all who was there, but I remember I had to go to work that day. And I was late for work because I think he preached about 4 or 5 hours or something more than that. And somebody came through and kind of wanted to be pastor, I guess. I can't remember anything that he taught. I can't remember anything that he said after the service. So it was kind of like hard. You know what I'm saying? It was kind of a hard thing because I really wanted to leave because I had to go to work, but I was sitting in the midst of people and I didn't realize it was going to be that long, so I had to stay and I was late. And I really felt like it was a lesson for me to not preach too long. And the worst death is to be dragged to death, right? So I'm very sensitive to that. I feel like around the message of the hour, there's a lot of long preaching that doesn't have to be that long. And yet, we don't want to cut short what God's doing. So I was talking to a minister one time. He says, when he stops, I stop. And so what he's saying is, you know, when he feels that inspiration of God, that he'll keep preaching. And then if he just feels that it's done, it's done. So, of course, you have to trust that he's really being sensitive to that because maybe it's just, you know, he just himself. So you pray God will help us today because I feel like it's an important subject. And last week we preached about justification by faith. Do you believe the just shall live by faith? That's what the Bible teaches. And we understand in this hour that Brother Branham's ministry was very special. Those who have a revelation and believe that God sent a prophet to this generation, I do. I believe God sent a prophet, and he wasn't just a prophet. He was a vindicated prophet. And he wasn't just a vindicated prophet. He was a promised prophet from the scriptures. That makes it different to me. John the Baptist was a promised prophet. And he came and fulfilled those scriptures that promised him. Now, when John was here, not everybody said, okay, John fulfills those scriptures. No, they actually didn't see it. And that's a common thing with God. He often does things that people don't see at the time. They don't understand or see at the time. So I'm not looking for everybody to accept what God's doing because it just doesn't work that way. But Brother Branham came and he taught us that you know, there's only one gospel and it was Paul's gospel. And that his ministry came as a restoration ministry to restore us back, to restore our faith back to the original faith. Is that right? It was completely a restoration ministry. It wasn't about bringing a new gospel in a new way. And even you know, even when he was preaching the seven seals, people said, oh, Brother Branham, when you preach the seven seals, we're going to get some new revelation how to come to God. He says, it can't be that. He says, it's already there, but it's hidden and it's uncovered. See, it's uncovering. So he didn't bring us a new way. He brought us back to the old way. And if any man preach any other gospel, the Bible says, let him be accursed. So I don't go for people that take the message of the hour, pervert it, and bring something new, different than what Paul preached. I love the old-fashioned way. And to me, we are contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And so, Brother Branham talked about how the church ages came, and I believe there was seven church age messengers, and we are in the last church age still. Some people say, oh, we're not in the seven church age, we're in the bride age. And I understand Brother Branham talked about those things, but at the end of the seven church age, there's a rapture. So to me, if the rapture hasn't taken place yet, we're still in the seven church age. And I believe we come out of the church, yes, we've come out of the systems, like the Bible talked about coming without, Jesus suffered without the gate, and let us go therefore unto him without the camp bearing his reproach. And if you study that, and I've looked at it a little bit, you know, he was preaching to Hebrews to come out of that which was called God, but didn't have the presence of God. Without the camp, the tabernacle in the wilderness was there, and yet when they rejected God and they were serving the golden calf, God had moved the tabernacle of witness outside the camp. So the presence of God was there, but the people of God still claimed to be the people of God. So in this day today, many denominations declare themselves to be Christian, but while they serve a false god, like a Trinitarian god or something like that, which we know the Lord our God is one. Amen. And it is three, but not three persons. It's three manifestations of the same spirit. Amen. And so we know in this day, it's a restoration day. So Paul preached the true gospel, and then he was the first church age messenger. Then we had Paul, Irenaeus, and Martin, Columba. And in those dark ages, in those dark times, there was much persecution and much death amongst the church. And then that was the ox spirit they were laboring under. And then God sent the man spirit, and Luther, Wesley, and all those reformers, God used the intellect of man to go back to the scriptures to bring out truth that was always there. Wasn't necessarily new truth. It was new to them because it became a new revelation to them. But it was always there in the scriptures. They didn't have to pay to get out of purgatory. They didn't have to rub on some relic to get close to God. They had to believe in what Jesus Christ did for them. And so when Martin Luther had this revelation, it caused an explosion. Because truth, true, honest to God, revealed truth, causes an explosion in our lives too. And so Luther was no longer under bondage, and he came out, and there was this Protestant Reformation, and yet, again, they organized again after Luther was off the scene. And so then God used John Wesley to bring out a truth of sanctification. Now, I do believe, and we're going to talk about sanctification today, that it's very much misunderstood. And I want to look at it in a very sincere way as much as we can today. So John Wesley believed, I don't know if you realize it, in instantaneous sanctification by faith. How many knows that's true?
Amen.
Okay, you can study his writings all you want. There was a lot of contention about whether it was a gradual work or an instantaneous work. And John said it kind of, mostly he fought that it was instantaneous, but he said it in kind of both ways. See, because he believed in having an experience. So he believed that justification by faith was a truth that was always true, but he also believed that your faith could increase to a higher place where you lived closer to God. And so he did not believe in being saved by works. And so I think a lot of people that look at sanctification say, well, this is something I have to do. I have to sanctify myself, and I have to do all this works to be saved. And that's not true. That's not what John Wesley believed. That's not what Brother Branham taught. It's not what the scripture teaches. We read here in Hebrews, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us therefore go unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. See, I believe that justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost are all a works of the Holy Ghost. And whenever man tries to get involved in the work that's God's work, that's when things go bad. That's when you produce self-righteousness. That's when you produce legalism and bondage and the creeds of men. But if we let God do the job that he ordained to do to us, and we simply believe by faith in his promises and his word, see, then it'll have the right effect in our life. But when you think you've done it, it changes your attitude towards everything, towards God and to other people. And then you think you deserve something. God, why didn't you do this for me? That's a bad place to be. It's like Tim was saying, you know, you get the right feeling is to feel that you're unworthy.
Amen.
Jesus said, when the servant's done all that he can, he should still say, I'm an unworthy, unprofitable servant.
Right.
When you've done everything, because that's the truth of it. All of our righteousness is filthy rags to God. You're the best you can do in yourself is nothing. But when he does a work in you and you recognize it as his work in you, that's different. That produces something different, and your attitude is correct to God. Help us, Lord, today.
Amen.
Lord, how am I ever going to get through this? Oh, God, help me today.
Amen.
Anyway, I want to stop and read something to you that's not on the subject today, but if you could put that up, Sean, 1 Thessalonians, because I think this is important as well. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. And what I want you to do, and I'm leaving the subject of sanctification just for a moment, just to talk to you about something that's on my heart. Always remember, Jesus is coming back. Now, I realize in our daily life and the trials and tests and things, it's so easy to get caught up into, well, I'm going to church today, and I got something to do after church, and then I got to work, and then I got to do this and that. Jesus is coming back. And he said, and this is just came strong in my heart today, I'll give you an exhortation. He said, he's going to come in such an hour as you think not. So think about that. In such an hour as you think not. It will be, I believe, as Brother Branham taught us, a sudden secret catching away of the bride. A sudden secret catching away of the bride. For most of the world, he will come as a thief in the night. He will come as a thief in the night. But it should not be that way for the bride. And this is the scripture I wanted to highlight. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, they, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. When this starts, it's not going to stop. They shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Amen. Ye are all the children of light. I pray that we were all the children of light today. Amen. And the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. So, to me, the children of the day are not sleeping as others do. We need to pinch ourselves and say, am I awake? Spiritually, am I awake or am I sleeping and slumbering like the rest of the world? Because if you're sleeping and slumbering, it will come as a thief in the night. But the children of the day are awake. That's why it's not as a thief in the night. They're watching. They're waiting. Are you looking for the coming of the Lord? Are we truly looking for him to come back? Help us, Lord. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that should day should overtake you thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. Therefore, let us not sleep, verse 6, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Amen. See, whether you die now or right? Wherefore comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. Comfort yourselves together, edify one another, even as also ye do. Praise the Lord. So I just want to give you a little exhortation, something come in my heart. You know, time goes on and people make predictions about the coming of the Lord and then they don't happen. I remember the year 2000 and I remember it was Sister Grace came to me. She's going to be with the Lord, but she was concerned. Her brother had talked to her and she was concerned. You know, what's going to happen? And I remember just in my heart, I said, nothing's going to happen. How do you know nothing's going to happen? I don't know how I know, but I know nothing's going to happen. And it's just going to go on. And all the people of the world that were saying, oh, something's going to happen, something's going to happen. And then it passed that. They become more numb to the coming of the Lord. And people have been predicting dates, so many dates and times and things like that. And what happens, it's really false when they do that, because when it goes past, and obviously it wasn't true, it just causes more of a numbness on people. And then when you talk about the coming of the Lord to them, they're like, oh, we've been hearing that forever. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, they've been talking about it. That's the day we live in. But you and I know he's coming.
Amen.
And he's going to come secretly and swiftly, and he's going to catch his bride away. And we know the earth is going to go right into the tribulation period. And we do not want to be there. We don't want anybody we love to be there. So there's an urgency about it. And I would just caution you that we're living in a Laodicean church age where the lukewarmness is everywhere. Not cold, but not hot.
Right.
And I think if we're honest, we all fight that.
Amen.
We all fight that spirit, because you get weary in your in the daily battles. Battles with the world without and battles with ourself within.
Right.
You get weary. So just want to encourage you, keep watching.
Amen.
Keep watching. And we're going to get into sanctification today, which I think is important, which I think is needful, because let me just get right into the subject. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise the Lord Jesus. So, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end. Hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So obviously we're called to holiness. And we live in a world that is going the other way fast and hard. We live in a world that belittles holiness. Now, you can define holiness many different ways, but to me, it's not our holiness. It's not our righteousness. It's his holiness. But as we get closer to him and we fellowship with him and we understand what he prefers and what he likes, we become more like him, and he is holy. If we want to live in a way that's pleasing to God, there will be holiness. The other scripture that I wanted to read was Hebrews 12, 14, which says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So it's God's will that we follow holiness.
Amen.
Now, if you try to make yourself holy, you're going to become a self-righteous religious person. But if we allow the Lord to work in our life, because remember, justification is a work of the Holy Ghost. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism is the Holy Ghost. Amen? It's, you got to remember, and I somehow, there's a warning in my heart. You got to remember, it's a work of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That he does in you. He does it. Now, when I look at the Old Testament, the word sanctify was used a lot. And sanctify, I want to talk about the meaning of it, because again, I think this is misunderstood. They sanctified vessels. They cleaned them and they set them apart. Right? So the Hebrews, the Strong's number 6942, sanctify, it was used a lot. And it's very similar to the New Testament Greek definition, but to consecrate. Think about consecrating something. Sanctify, prepare, dedicate, to be hallowed, to be holy, to be sanctified, to be separate. You know, God sanctifies his people. He separates them from the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. There's a separation that takes place. See? How can two walk together unless they be agreed? You can say, my best friend is the worldliest person, and he cusses and all drinks and smokes and does drugs, and he's my best friend, and we hang out all day. Listen, that can't be. A Christian, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Our best friend should be Jesus Christ. And he's who we should walk with. And those, the birds of a feather flock together. Those that want, that esteem Jesus Christ as God and his word above all else, that's who should be our best friend. Oh, well, my best friend, I'm a Christian, and my best friend's the worldliest person you know. Well, you know what? Maybe you're worldly and you're not a Christian. I hate to say it like that, but let's not delude ourselves. This is a house of correction, isn't it?
Amen.
This is a house where evil spirits are to be exposed. Now, remember, we are in this flesh until we get out of here. And we're going to be subject, even if you come through the process, justification, sanctification, baptism, you are subject to temptation.
Amen.
Every one of us. Mm-hmm. But you are also subject to spirits.
Amen.
Evil spirits. Yes, we want the Holy Spirit to have preeminence in our soul and in our life and to follow him. But when we, if we resist God in any way, if we grieve the Holy Spirit away from us, other spirits are at liberty to come on you, and you can have an evil spirit on you and you not really know it. And that'll cause behaviors in you. That's why we come to church, to be set free from those things. Now, when you don't want to come to church, I guarantee you there's an evil spirit on your back that doesn't want to be exposed. You say, oh, well, it's just church, you know, it doesn't mean anything, you know. Bad attitude, that's a devil on your back. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as we see his day coming soon, right? And so there's more that happens here that meets the eye. There's much more. You don't have to have an altar call and force people to cry and weep for the devil to be exposed. By his word, he cast out the devils. See, and when the word goes forth, the spirit and truth of God goes forth, it can set you free from evil spirits that are binding you. First, it exposes them according to the word of God, and it quickens you by the spirit of God to recognize there's something wrong. And then you repent and you confess your sins, and he's faithful to forgive you of your sins, and he's a savior, and he doesn't want these devils on your back. Lust is a devil. Greed is a devil. Pride is a devil. We don't want these things. If we see those things in our life, we need to really get with God and repent. Say, Lord, I don't want an evil spirit on my back. So the main thing is, do not justify sin. We cannot justify sin in our life. It's an evil spirit. God help us.
Amen.
He wants to consecrate us. He wants to sanctify us, prepare us, dedicate us, and be separate, to be set apart. It's God's desire that we be sanctified.
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. And again, all the scriptures are going to be up here, so you can turn your Bible. That's fine. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Okay, if you didn't believe me, there it is in the Bible. God will do a work of justification in your life. That simply by you believing in the word of God. But he doesn't stop there. And we shouldn't stop there. Right? I believe there's an automatic, that real grace, that real faith that believes the gospel, When we experience that justification by faith experience with God, that revelation of it, salvation, there's an automatic pulling to the next step. There's a pulling to sanctification. It's automatic.
Amen.
And it's almost as if we have to do something to stop it, to grieve the Holy Ghost. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence. Lust. We have to be those that escape the what's binding the world in through lust. The things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. If you love those things of the world, the love of God's not in you. Lust. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called you unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. So, I believe God calls us to sanctification, but it's a work that he must do. I think it's a work that we must recognize we need, just like you recognize you need salvation. You know, a sinner, he doesn't know anything about being saved, doesn't know God. I remember being in this condition and, you know, sure, we went to church, but we didn't know about salvation. And so one day we hear the truth of the gospel. It's quickened by the Holy Ghost and we receive salvation. And part of that process is recognizing you need. I need a Savior. I am lost. I am filled with sin and wickedness and I need to be saved. And then you reach out, you hear the good news, and faith cometh by hearing, and by faith you reach out and you accept and the gospel, the wonderful news that he took my place. And we're saved by the grace of God. And I also believe that the Holy Ghost quickens us to our need for sanctification, for a purification, for a cleansing, to be set aside. The Holy Ghost does that without you hearing me say a word about that. The Holy Ghost comes to you and grieves you. If you do something that's wrong, the Holy Spirit's there and he grieves you.
Amen.
See, because the Holy Spirit is involved in every part of this process. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's in part of every... He's the worker there. He's the one that does the work. Oh Lord, work on us today.
Amen.
So many times it seems like we must do the work. Let's go to Leviticus 20. I have a lot of scriptures today. Leviticus 20, verse 7 and 8. It says, sanctify yourself, therefore, and be holy. For I am the Lord your God. Look at verse 8. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifies you. So here in one verse, it appears like we have to sanctify ourselves. In the next verse, he says, I'm the one that's going to do it. You have to be sanctified. Sanctify yourselves. How do we get sanctified? Letting God do the work in us. And I think that's really important. Help us, Lord. I want you to look at Jeremiah 1, verse 4. Again, we have it up here. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He sanctified him. What does that mean? What was he doing to Jeremiah? He ordained him. He set him aside. He consecrated this child before he was formed in the womb. Aren't you glad God knows everything? He knows the end from the beginning. He sanctified him. He set him apart. He chose him and he set him apart. Oh God. He consecrated Jeremiah for the work of a prophet. And God also knew us before we were born. Before we were in the womb, God knew us. And I believe God's the one who sanctifies us. If we're truly going to be sanctified, it's not a work that we can accomplish. We can do nothing without God. People get it in their mind that they have to do it, and I really do believe that leads to self-righteousness. If you think you're doing this work, but when you realize you can't do it, you can't change yourself, you can't do anything without God. And when you understand that fully, there is no self-righteousness then. There is no looking down on others then. You didn't do it. God did it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When God does the work, there's no self-boasting. There's only a recognition that the Holy Spirit did a work of cleansing, separating. He's my Savior.
Amen.
He's my cleanser.
Amen.
He's my comforter. He's
Amen.
My counselor. He's everything to me.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 1:18. I really want to nail this down. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding and the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Don't you love that? I love the plan of God. To save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Notice now that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him, notice this scripture now, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Who? Christ Jesus. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. See, to me, he is my wisdom. He is my righteousness. He is my sanctification. I have no righteousness. He is my righteousness. I have no holiness. He is my holiness. It's all in him. The whole Bible points to Jesus Christ. The whole Old Testament points to Calvary. Everything since then points back to Calvary. Through his sacrifice, faith in what he did, we become saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
And then he does a work into us. Remember why it had to be Christ? And the animal sacrifices wouldn't work. The animal life could not come back into the believer. But Jesus Christ, when he died, the spotless lamb, literally the life that was in him comes back into us to do the works. That's Christianity. There's a lot of religiousness in the name of Christianity that has nothing to do with Christianity. I was raised around religious people, nuns and priests and Catholicism and works and do this and do that and religious spirits. That has nothing to do with real Christianity. Denominationalism. See, be very careful when God gives you a revelation. Because a prophet of God said, how did denomination get started? God revealed something to somebody. But then they put a period instead of a comma. So you can have a true revelation from God, but then when you get the wrong attitude and you get lifted up just a little bit, that's why that getting lifted up is so deadly, and you put a period and say, this is the way it is. I know I got a revelation from God, and you got to believe it the way I believe it. I always feel uncomfortable around people like that, that get it all figured out. And I do believe when you get it all figured out, you know you're wrong. You can be sure you're wrong. There's no humility in that. There's no meekness in that. The Spirit of God is lowly. It's humble. He doesn't have to be, but He is. And when He is in us, there is no arrogance and pride and haughtiness. Not if He's having preeminence. It's another spirit. It's not Him. Well, that's just the way my family was. Yeah, and they had devils on them too, and they passed them on to you. And if you accept those devils, they'll stay. Don't make room for the devil. Make room for the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will conform to this word. Help us, Lord. Aren't you glad He is our righteousness? Aren't you glad He is our holiness? He is my sanctification. It's not mine. I'm a witness of what He is doing in my life. That's a Christian testimony. I am a witness. I'm a standing by watching Him work. Amen. And how marvelous are His works. Amen. How wondrous are His works. Just look in the sky. How wondrous. Sanctification is a second work of grace. Now, that's a statement Brother Branham made. I believe it's the truth. It's a second work of grace. What's grace? Is that earned? No. Justification is a work of grace. It's a work of the Holy Ghost by grace. Listen, all of this, justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost, it's a work of the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Every bit of that is faith. We are not them that draw back from faith, but we are them that believe unto the redemption of our souls. So that's the deadly part about trusting in your own works, about creating some creed like the initial evidence is speaking in tongues. See, then they trust in that and they hold to that and they're not following God by faith. They created some evidence of the Holy Ghost that they're trusting in. I do believe the Holy Ghost speaks with tongues. I do believe there's a whole lot of speaking in tongues that's nothing to do with the Holy Ghost. But the real Holy Ghost speaks with tongues. Not only that, He interprets, and interpretation of tongues, and He prophesies, and He gives wisdom, and He does miracles. And there's 9 spiritual gifts. Why do they focus on the one? Lord, help us. Paul said, I would that you all speak with tongues. He said, forbid not to speak with tongues. He says, but I'd rather that you prophesied. Because then everybody's edified and understands what's being said. Right? So we see the denominational system, which wasn't of God. The movement started with the Holy Spirit, but then they put periods and they said initial evidence is speaking with tongues. And then they grieved the Holy Spirit and He had to pull away from that. Like the latter rain movement that Brother Branham said, it started genuine 100% Holy Ghost move of God. But then they started to impart gifts on one another because they saw something in the Bible about that, just like initial evidence. Well, they saw that, you know, they spoke in tongues when they got the Holy Ghost. So then that's the initial evidence. See, and that really was wrong. You can find where Brother Branham says, not everybody speaks with tongues. Paul said it. Do all speak with tongues? Do all do this? Do all are all workers of miracles? Listen, God chooses who He's going to do it through. So when they, in the latter rain movement, started to impart gifts, they grieved the Holy Spirit, but they kept going right on with it and they formed their own group about it. See, one of our greatest challenges is to keep our thinking out of this thing. to not be anointed, inspired by the wrong spirit to add and inject some thought into the Word of God, which is not God. We are contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a compound word that means cleaned and set aside for service. Don't you want that? I want that. Justification is believing. Sanctification is the cleansing. The Holy Ghost is the filling. Brother Branham said this, justification is what you believe. Sanctification is what the blood did for you. Amen. What the blood did for you. You are sanctified by believing. Don't ever forget that. See, some people treat Luther age as, well, he believed, and then when Wesley came in, it was works then. He left off believing for works. That's not true at all. That is not what the messenger said in that church age or this church age. It was faith all the way through. And he never changed anything. He only added to the revelation. You know, some people stumbled, Pentecostal people stumbled when Brother Branham said Luther was the messenger to that age, because Luther, the first thing he did when he went in the house was he went to the beer keg and got his beer. But see, Luther was living under the restoration of justification. It was later that the restoration of sanctification come into play. People can't see that. But you know, we still need justification by faith. We still need sanctification. And we still need the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all the gifts of the Spirit. I want you to know that I welcome every one of the 9 spiritual gifts to operate in this local assembly. Because that's what it should be. That's what it should be. Justification is what you believe. Sanctification is what the blood did for you. You are sanctified by believing. But when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it is the person of the Holy Ghost himself. Oh, the person, not imagination, not the same kind of psychology, but the person of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Now, how about the timing of it? Does it have to be a long process? Listen, we can go back to the book of Acts, and we can go back to the house of Cornelius, and those people, they were justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost instantaneously. Now, you deny that, you go ahead and deny it, but that's what the Bible teaches. Does it always happen that way? I'm not going to say that. We had 7 children, and every birth was a little different in timing. But every one of them had water, blood, life. Right? Some came quick. Some were overnight. Of course, I always talk about it like I had to go through it. The morning's the one that did it. But I was there. I'm a witness, right? Water, blood, life. And I'll say this, every birth's a mess. It's not a pretty sight. There's always tears. There's always pain. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. What am I saying? You know, I think Brother Branham said many times he didn't believe in a dry-eyed confession. He didn't believe someone intellectually come and say, yeah, I'm good. Hey, Daddy-O, I'm saved. Circumcision of the heart is painful. Real circumcision makes the babies cry, right? It's painful, right? In the Old Testament, adults were circumcised. It took them days to recover, right? It's painful. And the Holy Ghost coming into our life is painful. Why? Because we see ourselves for what we are. We see the wretchedness of self. Amen. We see our need for a Savior, and it's painful to see when God opens your eyes. But I say, Lord, open our eyes. Amen. Let the sword of the Spirit and the Spirit of God come and cut us where we need to be cut. I don't want to live delusionally like the rest of the world who've got devils all over them and they don't know it. I don't want to live like the churches and knoweth not that they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I want to see where I'm wrong. So then I can repent. Then I can confess my sin to God, and I know He's faithful to forgive me. And I believe He will justify me. He will sanctify me. He will fill me with the Holy Ghost simply because I believe Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we read Hebrews 12, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood. Listen, we're sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Suffer without the gate. How are we sanctified with His blood? When we believe that He took our place. The blood has an effect on us, right? When He died, He shed His blood. He sanctified us with His own blood. Then Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There's the washing of the water of the word in our life, right? How does that work? How does the truth sanctify us? When again, we believe the truth of the gospel, we understand we're guilty of sin, we're deserving of death, hell, and the grave, and we all fall short of the glory of God. But that same gospel that cuts brings healing. And it says there is a way of escape. Come unto me, Jesus said. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's a promise of God. So by believing the Word of God, by feeding on the Word of God, by seeing the truth about our guiltiness, but also His way of escape, we're washed. I am washed. Sanctified. Set aside. See, it's not something we do. It's something that believing the truth does to us. Amen. When you recognize truth and you see the truth. Listen, someone who commits adultery and he has no conscience of it, he comes and he reads the Word of God and his heart is pricked. I'm going to go to hell for living in adultery. His heart is pricked. He can't continue in that. How can that be? If he sees that's going to drag him to hell, how could he continue in that? You read the Word of God, adulterers, whoremongers, abusers of mankind with himself, cannot enter the kingdom of God. So the Word washes us. When we read the Word, we hear the Word, and we believe what it says, that truth penetrates us and it causes action within us. It's not you taking action. It's the Word coming in you causing an action because you believe. It's an automatic action. It's a reaction to believing. And it leads you, thank God, to repentance. The Holy Spirit, the goodness of God, leadeth us to repentance. It's not even you yourself that goes to repent. It's Him leading you there. Amen. If you can feel conviction today, you ought to raise your hand and say, praise God. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not so numb like the rest of the world. Thank you, there's still something that could prick my heart so I can go confess my sin, so I can go be more like Jesus, so I can be sanctified. Truly cleaned and set aside for service. Grace leads to faith, which leads to repentance. And that same faith leads us to salvation. By grace are you saved through faith. Amen. Praise God. Many times Brother Branham talked about a dirty vessel. He'd pick up off the ground, right? How many times did he say that? Being picked up, the dirty vessel is picked up as justification. Cleaned and set aside for service was sanctification. But when it was filled, that's the Holy Ghost filling it and in service. Of course, we want all that. Why would we want to stop any part of that process? No, we want all that God has for us. And the Holy Spirit draws us to Himself. And when you're grieved in your heart about something you said or something you thought or something you did, that's the grace of God. It's the Holy Ghost saying, I don't like that.
Amen.
And then that grieving of the Holy Spirit causes us to say, oh, He doesn't like that. I don't like that then, because I like what he likes. I want to be like him. So it automatically, because we recognize he died for our sins and that there is a real person of God named Jesus Christ, automatically when we recognize, it's just like he's standing there and he just shakes his head. We say, oh, you don't like that? No. Then I don't want to do it. Forgive me. I don't want to grieve you.
Amen.
Is he that real to you?
Amen.
You know, you can just think a thought and feel that, right?
Amen.
You could just say a word, a little hard with somebody, and the Holy Spirit says, I didn't like that. I didn't like that. You don't know who you're talking to. That's one of my children there, right? We need to be careful. Brother Branham preached a sermon, respects. We need to listen to that. Listen to that. Touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. You know, I feel sorry. I genuinely feel sorry for those that are speaking against Brother Branham's ministry. Because I have a revelation, he was ordained of God.
Amen.
I can't imagine anybody speaking against that ministry.
Amen.
They have no idea what they're faced with. Amen. They want to look at his faults and where he did wrong. Wait till the microscope comes on your life.
Amen.
Oh Lord, help us. You know, we really ought to be a merciful people. We really, if we had a real revelation of the judgment of God that's coming on this earth, of the judgment, of the white throne judgment, we really ought to be the most merciful people on the face of the earth. Because blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy.
Amen.
I want mercy. From my view, if I get justice, I'm guilty, I'm going to hell. If I get what I deserve, I don't have a chance. I need the mercy of God.
Amen.
And the reality is, that's true for all of us.
Amen.
Whether you could see it or not, you can't stand in the justice of God. Remember that evangelist, he thought he lived right, he thought he did right. And he probably did to the best of his knowledge. But in the presence of that light, have you ever lied? Well, I thought that I never did, but in the presence of that light, I guess, sir, I did tell a fib or two. Did you ever steal? Well, when I lived on earth, I never thought that I stole anything, but in the presence of that light, I guess I did. In the presence of that light, in that white throne judgment, everything will be exposed. Things we know of, things that we don't know of. We need the mercy of God, brother, sister. And if you want God's mercy, be merciful. Be merciful. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Brother Rand says a vessel must first be picked up. It's full of mud. It's justified because the man has picked it up. The next thing, it's got to be clean and scoured out. The word sanctify means clean and set aside for service. But set aside for service don't mean you're in service. And Jesus said, blessed are ye when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you shall be filled. See, the Holy Ghost came on the sanctified, real true sanctified believers, and signs and wonders began to manifest themselves as soon as that sanctified vessel had got right. And the Holy Ghost got into it. See what I mean? Look at this other quote, Brother Branham, the same thing. He said, the first thing, there's a glass laying out there in the hog pen, chicken yard, whatever it is. You want to use it. The first thing, you pick it up. That's justification. You got it in your hand, yet you can't use it yet. It needs to be cleansed. Then you take it and you wash it, you sterilize it, and you boil it, and you take all the germs out of it. Now listen. He says something profound here. That's what God does through sanctification. Takes all the desire of sin out of your heart. Cleans you up. You see, sanctification is not just a theory. He takes literally the desire for sin out of our heart. You don't want it. I remember I couldn't imagine living without drinking. How do you have fun without drinking some beer or something?
I have no desire for that.
Amen.
See, and God works on us and he takes from us the desire for sin.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean you can't be tempted. See, and that's the fine line there. Temptation is real.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one that was tempted like us in all things without sin. So when we're tempted, and if we fail, we need to repent. And we say, Lord, forgive me. I'm guilty, Lord. Confess your sin. He's faithful to forgive you. But see, maybe we really need more of that sanctifying process in our life. Maybe we desire things that we shouldn't desire.
Amen.
Say, oh, well, again, remember, warning, don't make excuses for sin. Don't make room for sin in your life. You've been called to holiness. You've been called to sanctification. Those things won't stay unless you want them to. So, remember, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, I see something in me that shouldn't be there. Be sincere when you repent. Now, you can't remove that, but he can. It's his work. And what do? We believe that he will. Just keep confessing, keep believing, and one day you'll realize it's gone.
Amen.
And you know what you're going to say? Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I didn't think that would ever leave me. But you did it. And what do we have to do? We believe that he can. We're like Abraham. We believe he's able to keep the promises. By these promises, we become partakers of the divine nature. By what? By believing the promises.
Amen.
Remember, it's faith all the way through. Don't let the burden come on you that you have to do it. He does it. What you have to do is recognize it, confess it, and ask God to take it from you. Takes all the desire for sin out of your heart, and then you're a candidate for filling the Holy Spirit. See, the word sanctify means cleaned and set aside for service. That's the Old Testament. The altar sanctified the vessels, and clean and set aside for service is not in service, it's set aside. And when it's in service, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. The Holy Spirit comes in, fills up the vessel till it's running over, bubbling over, and then you're in service of the Lord. Praise God. Now, remember, Brother Branham was preaching to a people, a holiness people, that rejected the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now look at the position Brother Branham was in. He had to show the difference. In the day of John Wesley, they believed that was it. Sanctification was it. And it was a work of the Holy Ghost, and it was what God did in that day. But God progressed into restoration of the gifts, and speaking in tongues and prophecy and all those things. And the holiness people, they got to the place where they were justified and sanctified and they lived a holiness life, but they rejected the gifts of the Spirit like many around the message. That's the problem. If the Holy Ghost was there, they wouldn't do that. The Holy Ghost will receive what God has sent. Remember, it's a type of the natural birth. Water, blood, life. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need it all. And I do believe someone was justified. And Brother Bram said he believed they were saved. But there's a difference in being filled with the Holy Ghost. That's the seal of God. That's who's going in the rapture. We don't want to be sitting around here. Remember, the foolish virgin in the tribulation period was saved before the tribulation started. That's what he said. He said they were already saved because when the rapture takes place and the blood comes off the throne, it becomes a white throne and there is no more mercy. So there's people that goes into the tribulation period that were justified, sanctified maybe, but didn't get the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They were already saved by their faith, but they didn't receive the seal of God. We must receive the token.
Amen.
The token must be on display.
Amen.
See, that's what Brother Branham preached in the message of the hour.
Amen.
That's why he never tolerated and accepted someone that was just staying in the justified state and not moving on. Many times people that are not moving on, it's because they rejected something. God help us.
Amen.
Next quote, Brother Branham, he says, see, the Holy Spirit stays straight with the Scriptures. Key to the door. Thank you, Sean. It's faith that unlocks every mystery. Amen. The Bible said in 1 John 5:7, there are three that bear record in heaven: Father, the Word, which is Christ, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear record in earth: the water, blood, spirit. These three are not one, but they agree in one. Now, you can't have the Father without having the Son. You can't have the Son without the Holy Ghost. They are one. But you can be justified without being sanctified, and you can be sanctified without the Holy Ghost. Sanctification is by the blood. Through the blood that comes life. See, the Holy Ghost is the power of God. You see what he was trying to do? He was trying to tell people that you can come so far. The Scripture was right there on a sign. These three are one. The Father, Son, Holy Ghost are one. But the other three agree in one. Oh, let's not reject anything from God. Listen, if you find something in this Bible that rubs you the wrong way, don't change this. Change yourself.
Amen.
Confess your sins. Say, Lord, I'm not lining up with this, and I need to.
Amen.
I'm not dressing modestly. I'm not of a meek and a quiet spirit. I'm not submissive. I'm not obedient. Don't get ornery and say, that's just the way I am. You're resisting the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
God help us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Now, different than sanctification. All right. It's same around the message today. The seal of God is what? The Holy Ghost. Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Brother Branham preached a token message over and over and over again. We must receive the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's a very individual thing. It's not something you earn. It's something God gives to you when your faith is correct. Now, the mark of the beast, Brother Branham taught, was to reject the Holy Spirit. If you reject him in any part of that process, that's very dangerous. Let's go to the Mark of the Beast, Sean, 1954. It says, you say, do you believe in speaking in tongues? Yes, sir. Did you ever speak in tongues? Yes, sir. I praise God for it. Yes, sir. I spoke in tongues several times. I believe it's the power of God. Yes, I don't believe in the initial evidence now is speaking in tongues, but I believe there's a power of God that makes you speak in tongues, signs and wonders to follow. Yes, sir. And then the devil put an old scarecrow up there, somebody that's mocked and act like they had the Holy Ghost. And all you pilgrim holiness and holiness and Nazarenes and all you looked and said, ooh, I don't want none of that. Ooh. Oh, mercy. If you'd have had the Holy Ghost or a part of God down in your heart, sanctified like you were supposed to be, you'd have recognized that to be the power of God. Didn't Jesus say, if you would have known Moses, you'd have known me also? Sure. If sanctification is part of the Holy Ghost that cleansed and sanctified you, if you've got that, you'll recognize the rest of it when it comes. This hand recognizes this hand. This head recognizes this foot when it's part of the body. And the Bible said there's 9 spiritual gifts: prophets, teachers, evangelists, and so forth, interpretation of tongues, speaking tongues, divine healing. It'll recognize every bit of it. See, back in that day, these holiness groups were rejecting the gifts of the Spirit. So Brother Branham was showing them, listen, the Holy Ghost is not in your life. You've come to this place. You're living this so-called holiness life in yourself, because if you had the Holy Ghost, you would accept what God's sending today. And now that's the danger of rejecting the message of the hour. Now, I recognize that, just as Brother Branham said, these holiness people saw people impersonating, right? You might see someone speak in tongues and you might think, was that really God? Well, we don't know. Touch it not. Right? It may be God, it may not be. But there is a genuine speaking with tongues. Brother Branham is saying, don't let the scarecrow make you reject the real thing. There's so much perversion around the message of the hour. People see the perversion. They see wrong spirits. People, you know, got some weird, wild stare in their eyes, and they're all crazy, and they're pushing Brother Branham like he's your savior. That's not true. Brother Branham never said that. He never taught that. People went off baptizing in the name of William Branham. That's just nonsense, perversion. But there's so much of that around, people see that, and what happens is they reject the whole thing. Throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's very dangerous to reject. So the question is, where is the Holy Ghost in people's life that doesn't help them distinguish between that which is of man and that which is of God? The Holy Ghost is the critical part. Listening to Brother Branham the other day, Amber was listening to a tape, and I walked in on her listening, and Brother Branham said, you can't even read your Bible unless you get inspiration. You're not going to get the correct point from the Bible without inspiration from God. You're definitely not going to get what you should get from the message of the hour without the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Because we see many spirits getting on people, taking quotes and things and going way off away from the original gospel. We must have the Holy Ghost. We got to have it. And so, when people reject Brother Branham's ministry, I feel bad because maybe they're rejecting something that was a tangent. You know, it makes me think, you know, I want to have the right spirit when I talk about this message. I want to have the right spirit when I talk about Jesus Christ. Right? If you're not in the right spirit, God doesn't require you to do anything. Because that's not Christ. He's spirit and truth. Don't push the truth out there. You got the sword in your hand that could do a lot of damage without the wisdom of God to control it. If you got anger and wrath and malice and hatred and bitterness and jealousy and you're just mad at somebody and you take the truth and you stick them with it, you could do a lot of damage with it and God will hold you responsible. You're better off saying, I'm in no condition to present any truth right now. I need to go get in my prayer closet and pray until I got a meek and humble spirit on myself and then I'm in a right condition. Why take the mote out of somebody's eye when you got this huge beam in your own eye? We need the Holy Ghost. We need that sweet, that love of God. Follow Wesley's ministry. He promoted love for God and love for others. That's the real gospel. I'd like to read some quotes from Wesley. I don't know if you have them, Sean. Sorry to take a little longer today. We're getting close to the end. You like the Word of God?
Amen.
Lord, help us. John Wesley, I have continually testified for these 25 years in private and public that we are sanctified as well as justified by faith.
Yes.
And indeed, the one of those great truths does exceedingly illustrate the other. Exactly as we are justified by faith, so are we sanctified by faith. Praise God. Aren't you glad of that? But God does work this great work in the soul. But does God work this great will gradually or instantaneously? There's a big debate about it. Was this gradually or instantaneously? All right. Perhaps it may be gradually wrought in some. I mean, in this sense, they do not advert to the particular moment wherein sin ceases to be. But it is definitely desirable, were it the will of God, that it should be done instantaneously, that the Lord should destroy sin by the breath of his mouth, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And so he generally does. And he interviewed a lot of people that were in his day that confessed they had an instantaneous sanctification experience. And generally he does, a plain fact of which there is evidence enough to satisfy any unprejudiced person. Thou therefore look for it every moment. Look for it in a way above described. In all those good works whereunto thou art created anew in Christ Jesus, there is then no danger. You can be no worse if you are no better for that expectation. For were you to be disappointed of your hope, Still you lose nothing, but you shall not be disappointed of your hope. It will come and will not tarry. Look for it then every day, every hour, every moment. Why not this hour, this moment? Certainly, you may look for it now if you believe it is by faith. And by this token, you may surely know whether you seek it by faith or by works. If by works you want something to be done first before you are sanctified, you think, I must do this, I must be or do this or thus. Then you are seeking it by works unto this day. If you are seeking it by faith, you may expect it as you are now. I love that. And if you are, then expect it now. It is of importance to observe that there is an inseparable connection between these three points. Expect it by faith, expect it as you are, expect it now. Do you realize you today can experience justification and sanctification instantaneously today?
Amen.
By faith.
Hallelujah.
It's a work of the Holy Ghost. Expect it now. To deny one of them is to deny them all. To allow one is to allow them all. Do you believe we are sanctified by faith? Be true then to your principle and look for the blessing just as you are, neither better or worse, as a poor sinner that has still nothing to pay, nothing to plead, but Christ died.
Amen.
And if you look for it as you are, then expect it now. Stay for nothing. Why should you? Christ is ready, and He is all you want. He is waiting for you. He is at the door. Let your innermost soul cry out.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, I love the gospel. You know, the gospel is still good news today. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it. The last part, I like your doctrine of perfection. Brother John Wesley, talked about Christian perfection different than perfection, because people related perfection to something they were doing in the flesh and perfecting the flesh, but he didn't believe that. Now, I like your doctrine of perfection or pure love, love excluding sin. You're insisting that it is merely by faith, that consequently it is instantaneous, though preceded and followed by a gradual work, and that it may be now at this instant. Praise God. Right now. That's why I say sanctification is misunderstood. But sanctification is needed today. We don't earn it. We don't work for it. It's by faith. We're justified by faith. We're sanctified by faith. And God gives the Holy Ghost as He promised. Say, how many years do I have to be justified before I'm sanctified? How many years do I have to be sanctified before I'm filled? Look at the house of Cornelius. If it's pure, I think he's ready right now. I stand at the door and knock. Now, I don't know if I can... Do you have a few more minutes for me? I just wanted to read something that I found I thought was edifying. It was about the Wesley holiness theology. And Sean can put it up and just follow along, and I'll try and get through it quickly. I thought it'd be worth just sharing with you. Wesleyan holiness theology is grounded in the teaching of John Wesley, 1703-1791. Wesley and his brother Charles were Oxford-trained, ordained clergymen in the Church of England. While at Oxford, they founded a small group of men who were, called by their peers, the Holy Club. Around the same time, they began to be called Methodists. The sole design of these Methodists was, as Wesley put it, to be downright Bible Christians, talking the Bible as interpreted by the primitive church, early church fathers, for their whole and sole rule. John Wesley's primary focus was upon the doctrine of salvation and the relationship between grace, faith, and holiness of heart and life. First, Wesley taught the classical doctrine of sin and absolute inability of human beings to save themselves through virtuous works. As with the Protestant reformers, Luther and Calvin, Wesley held that Adam's disobedience plunged the human race into a matrix of sin from which, barring divine intervention, there is no escape. Following St. Paul's discussion of law and the gospel, sin and justification in Galatians and Romans, Wesley insisted that the grace of God is freely available to all who hear the gospel, repent, and believe. Grace precedes faith so that the choice to believe is uncoerced and free. Secondly, Wesley taught that salvation or justification, as it is termed, comes by faith alone. He dismissed the notion that righteous works, even though good in themselves, accrue any merit whatsoever towards salvation. Wesley observed that there are three things that work together to produce salvation. Listen closely. The first is the infinite mercy and grace of God. The second is the satisfaction of God's righteous judgment of sin based on the sacrificial and substitutory death of Christ. The third is the individual's personal faith in the merits of Jesus Christ. Wesley insisted that such faith is not merely giving cognitive assent, but it is a heartfelt trust in Christ for forgiveness and sins and confidence that God saves those who truly believe. Wesleyans teach that the moment one believes, he, she is saved. And by believing, they may expect to receive an inward witness of having been delivered from the bondage of sin and eternal damnation to freedom from sin and eternal life. This witness is not merely a feeling. It is the work of the Holy Spirit and the beginning of an inward regeneration of character described metaphorically in the Gospel of John as the new birth. Thirdly, Wesley taught that genuine faith produces inward and outward holiness. The regenerative process inwardly cannot help but find expression in an improved moral character outwardly. The doctrine of holiness is grounded in the command to be holy as God is holy. Jesus commanded, "Be therefore perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Jesus also taught that true Christian discipleship requires loving God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving neighbor as self. Whenever Wesley discussed holiness, sanctification, and perfection, he preferred the expression Christian perfection. By appending the adjective Christian, he sought to avoid comparisons with the reformers whose idealistic notions of perfection led them to believe that holiness or personal sanctity is not possible in this life. See, the reformers didn't have that revelation that they can be sanctified. Christian perfection for Wesley is achievable in this present life because it has to do with the affections. See, our desires are important. Our affections. I remember in another place I read about Wesley, he was reading a document by the bishop of somewhere that dealt with intentions of the heart. And he said that he believed that real perfection had to do with having full intention to serve God with all your heart. He didn't believe it was that literally you become like perfect like an angel or that you never fall. But he believed. Now I want you to think about this. In your heart, very sincerely, you fully intend to serve God with all your heart. That's going to produce something. Amen. Oh, God, help us. Don't we want that? Oh, Lord, help us.
Amen.
Let it be. Let it be, Lord. Affections. When by the grace of God infused into the soul through the Holy Spirit, one's love for God and others is made pure and complete, their lifestyle cannot help but increase in virtue, finding expression in loving, selfless actions. Faith working outwardly through love was one of Wesley's favorite biblical themes. Faith working outwardly through love. Brother Branham preached a sermon called Works is Faith Expressed. It's like they're together. It's like a marriage. And he said Paul talked about it in a way where God looked at Abraham, right? And James talked about it in a way as man was looking at Abraham. Two different views. I know, we got too much today, dragging them to death. Lord, help me. Don't kill me, Lord. We're almost there. Are you ready? Got a few minutes for me? All right. This is really good. I like this. I just really like this. I think this is worthwhile. One of the key debates within the Wesleyan holiness tradition is whether Christian perfection, or as is often termed, entire sanctification, is instantaneous, second word of grace, or gradual working of the Spirit. Is it crisis or process? In fact, Wesley said it is both. Wesley consistently argued that salvation must produce holiness of heart and life, but he never viewed the process as a ladder of ascent of sorts. He never envisioned a stage in life where one has arrived or can go no further. Instead, Wesley viewed Christian holiness biblically as a linear movement forward. He taught that despite the inner assurance and regeneration of character that results from justification, it is never too long before the new believer discovers that there is still a root of sin within. Unlike the reformers who had taught that sanctification only occurs at death, Wesley argued that he could see no reason why it could not occur 10, 20, even 30 years before death. Certainly, he said, there is no biblical evidence that would lead one to think otherwise. Though he never himself claimed to be entirely sanctified, he believed that claiming it was a fair sign that one was not so. It's like humility. I'm humble. Well, okay, you failed right there, right? Asbury University, with its roots in the American Methodist and holiness tradition, has followed Wesley's teaching on entire sanctification. Believers may and should seek a subsequent work of God where through grace imparted by the Spirit, they are made full of the love of God. However, as Wesley cautioned, there is no state of Christian existence wherein there does not admit an increase in the love of God and neighbor. A love for God and neighbor. For Wesley and for Christians in the Wesleyan holiness tradition, the Christian life of faith always holds out the potential of ever increasing likeness to Christ in love through the gracious indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. I could say amen to that. I could say amen to that. Why? Is that a surprise? God never takes away. People around the message try and destroy everything before Brother Branham. No. Luther, justification, that truth was restored. Wesley restored more. The Pentecost, the restoration of gifts. And Brother Branham, he just tied up the mysteries at the end. He never destroyed everything before him.
Amen.
Let's all stand. One last scripture. Hebrews 10, verse 14. Hebrews 10, 14 says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. It's all about Calvary, isn't it? Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, oh God, this subject is too big for me, Lord. I think of Job many times. I've spoken things too wonderful for me, Lord. But by your Holy Spirit, may you quicken truth to your people, Lord. And Lord, may you draw us closer. May you inspire us to see where we fall short, Lord, where there's not just temptation, but spirits hindering us, God. And may those exposed devils be cast out. Satan, I rebuke thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone from these people. You must go according to the word of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Dear Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promises. I thank you for casting out devils today. I thank you for exposing sin in my life and all of our lives, Lord, that you can lead us to repentance. You can lead us to a closer walk. You can lead us to being cleaned and set aside for service. Because, Lord, we want nothing more than be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, we believe there's a latter rain coming, a people prepared, a people ordained of God beforehand, foreordained before the foundation of the world, that would be here in the last days to receive the full outpouring of the Holy Spirit, just like on the day of Pentecost. And manifest your word in this hour. Oh Lord, send us the rain, Lord. We invite you to come into our lives, great fire of God, and cleanse us, Lord. From the top of our head to the soles of our feet, take control of our flesh being, our spirit being, and Lord, set up your throne within our souls, Lord Jesus. We invite you to come. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh my, isn't it wonderful? See, something more happens to us when we pray. Don't let the devil steal from you and me praying and reading the Bible. Don't let him put a thought in your mind that, well, it's too hard, or you're too busy, or we can't do it, or, you know, oh, well, I've read that before. I've heard that message before. I've heard Brother Branham. There's more that happens when you listen to Brother Branham than just getting information. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, I don't know what else to do but to pray, Lord. I need you, Lord. We need you. We fall short of the glory of God. We ask you to have mercy on us, Lord. Forgive us where we failed and sinned against you, Lord. May you take this truth, Lord, and give us the faith to believe in justification, in sanctification, in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All your work, all your promise to those that believe. We believe, Lord. Nothing in our arms we bring. Simply to the cross we cling. We claim nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity today. Bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. That was such a sweet song service today. How about "Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me"? Amen. You know, that's the way we come to Him the first time. That's the way we come to Him every time. Just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for